Again, good morning to each one of you. How many of you saw the sunrise this morning? Quite a few hands. For those of you who were still sleeping, you missed something. It was probably one of the most beautiful sunrises that I have ever seen. It was a very short time. But again, just reminding us that we serve a God that loves us, that paints the sky so we have something beautiful to look at. And that's who we are here this morning to worship. I've titled my message this morning, Creating a Spiritual Avatar. Who knows what an avatar is? You hands. Who would like to explain what an avatar is? Okay, so this message is for the small groups. Let me add to that. I'm going to be showing a slide here at the end. Those of you who have cell phones that you can take pictures, that is going to be your opportunity to take a picture of the questions, what you're supposed to do with your small groups. So that'll be at the end. For those of you who don't have cell phones, there are about 20 copies in the back there. You can pick one up on your way out. But I want to make sure that you do have a copy. Actually, there it is. Can you read that? Okay, we will make more copies if we need to. So I will try to, actually, why don't I just do this? I'll get them copies and I'll get them in your mailboxes. And that way you have one for sure. And if you don't have small group this month, which some of you aren't going to have that, please follow what's on the paper also in your homes. Because it is very, very important. Creating a spiritual avatar. So an avatar is something that I can create online. Many of you have avatars, and what I do, I will create this avatar on my computer, and I want this avatar to look a little bit like me, and I use this avatar. Let me just take you back a little bit. When I was a kid, we would go to Kmart. Mom and Dad didn't like when we did this, but we did it on the sly. Kids don't do this. We went to Kmart, and when you walked into Kmart, there were these video games out front, Atari games. You take your quarter, you put it into the slot, and we would play racing games, we would play Pac-Man. It was so much fun. We would stand there and we'd laugh until we actually cried. We had so much fun on these video games. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Now we have games on our phones, we have games on our computers, we've got games in our homes. We have what they call a Wii. How many of you know what a Wii is? Okay. Most of us, some of us know what a Wii is. It's a little GameCube thing. And you can put on your screen a whole bunch of different games. And sometimes when we get together as a family, out come the four different remotes that we have. And they play a racing game. They play just a whole bunch of different games. I play against Alex sometimes. Most of the time I get beat. But on this game, there needs to be somebody that drives a race car. There needs to be somebody that plays golf. So when I want to play, I create my own avatar. And in creating this avatar, I take what they give me at the beginning of this game. It's a facial feature, just the shape of a face. And then I'm going to take that face and I'm going to fill in what I want myself to look like. I'm going to fill in the eyes. I'm going to fill in the mouth. I can do beard and mustache if I want to. Ladies can't, but the guys can. I can put glasses on. That guy has gray hair. My wife did that this morning. That's supposed to be an avatar of me. Can you go to the next slide, please? So let's say I do not like this avatar because this avatar has gray hair. So what we're doing, we're making this avatar, and the dude that's going to ride my little race car, it's going to be the avatar that I created. All right, so there we have, Okay, so here I made a few changes. Go to the next one. Okay, see what I did there? I got dark hair. I'm wearing sunglasses. Do you see a difference in the hair and what I really am and what's being there? I got gray hair. these hair are brown. So in an avatar, I can create that avatar however I want to present myself in computer land. Some of you have avatars in your phone. When you call, that avatar shows up on my phone. And we're trying to make ourselves look maybe not quite like we do. We've got a whole bunch of different things on our computers that we can take a picture and we can take the zits off of our faces. My age spots I got on the sides of my face, the sunspots, whatever they are, I can take those off. And I can make it look really, really good. How many of you know what the metaverse is? Okay, we have a few. The metaverse is something new that's coming out. And this is just a little add-on. This is not my message this morning. But the metaverse is something that Mark Zuckerberg, the guy that's behind Facebook, is creating. And in this metaverse, if you look at Facebook, actually on the bottom, you'll see it says powered by Meta. It's already beginning to happen. So we have Mark Zuckerberg and his team, and there's also a whole bunch of others that are coming in with him. And they're creating a world within our world. There's going to be some glasses that you can put on. And you will be able to, let's just back up again. We had COVID. COVID took a whole bunch of us out of our offices and took us home. So where we work out from home now, in our homes instead of going to the office, we work there. So let's say in the future, really soon here they're saying, that's going to be more the norm. So I'm going to create an avatar. They're creating glasses right now that have speakers in them. They have all kinds of different things in them, but they have a hologram. So when I put those glasses on, what's in front of me is a 3D hologram. So I'm going to step into my little room. I'm a boss, and I'm asking all my employees to come to a meeting at the beginning of the day. So I look in my glasses, and I see a button up here. I reach up, and I literally just do this. And it says, invite whoever. So I invite my wife. She's on my team. I invite my wife to come to my meeting. So I hit invite. And I'm just touching out here in the air because it's a hologram. It senses that. My wife sees the invite. She accepts. She has created an avatar. That's her. So she steps into my room. One of these dudes, this avatar that she's created, is now in the same space that I'm in. We can talk together. And one of the big things that, if you listen to Mark Zuckerberg, one of the big things that he pushes over and over and over is connection. We are doing it for connection. Let's back up to 1994, I think it was. 1992, when the smartphone was invented. It wasn't very smart yet. 1994, they gave the smartphone out to us to use. And it was still very, very unusable. It was there, but there wasn't much going on. 2000 to 2001, the smartphone now became connected with some type of a network. And they sold many, many phones. 2007, now we have a web on our phone that we can browse just like we do on our home computer, all in our hand. 80% of social media today is done on your smartphone. Let me ask you, let's be honest here. When you get together, youth guys, youth ladies, when you get together as youth, what do you see in your hands? Smartphones quite often, right? Our family, I'll be honest, that happens a lot in our home. We have smartphones in our hands. Has it brought us closer together, connected us? It was an awesome thing when we were in San Antonio. I get connected with many, many people because we were a long distance away. It works beautiful for missionaries. Same with the metaverse. Can have some really, really good things. But let me ask you this. Did the smartphone bring connection? No. The smartphone did not bring connection. Can I tell you what metaverse I believe is going to come? It's going to be the smartphone with a turbo. A high-powered turbo. He's talking about connection. what's happening is we have created this thing called social distancing. We're starting to separate. And when this comes into play, and by the way, it's already in the gaming world. That's already happening. In the next few years, they want to come out with more and more of these elements, apps that fit in. Why am I saying this morning? It's not my message, but why am I sharing this? Because we cannot, as parents, as grandma and grandpas, stick our nose in the sand. We cannot do that. My grandkids are going to have this. My kids are going to have this. And if I don't know anything about it, there are things going to take place that I don't want to take place. Friends, we need to know what's going on. That's what I want you to think about this morning. Ties in with our creating an avatar. You can go to the next screen there. That's another one that we can create if I don't want people to know who I am. I will create an avatar like this. So what we've done, we've created somebody that we're going to put out in front that is going to look like us. Why did I title my message Creating a Spiritual Avatar? I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to say some things this morning, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from. But I'm going to say some things this morning that hurt. I'm going to say some things this morning that aren't very pretty. But they are things that we need to hear as a congregation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we in the last days? Yes, we are in the last days. Perilous times shall come. There's a whole list of things here that we are not going to go into. I'm going to read them, but we're just going to read them. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's the verse I want to look at for just a bit here. Keep your Bibles handy because we're going to go to quite a few different scriptures here. Having a form of godliness. What is a form? A form is an appearance. Having an appearance of godliness. When I have an appearance, as in this avatar that was created, I'm trying to show who I am. But what I'm doing, I'm not putting all my zits on there. I'm not putting my gray hair on there. I'm making it look good. These people, it says, they had a form of godliness. What is the godliness? The godliness is holiness. We understand that. So they have a form, they have the appearance of holiness. But denying the power thereof. When I deny something, I reject something. So I'm rejecting the power that He has given me to be a true believer. I'm making an appearance of being holy, but I'm rejecting that. When something's rejected, it gives the implication that a choice was given and a choice was made. That brings it back on me. I have made a choice. I have rejected when it's there for me to take. Just lately, there was a sexual abuse forum that happened in Pennsylvania. And as I begin to look around at the landscape of our plain churches today, it doesn't take me long to see that we have many, many needs. Bear with me as I share a few things. Sexual immorality, sexual abuse is not to be named amongst us. In this forum, they said, every one in four of our ladies have been abused. Every one in four. Every one in ten men have been abused. Did you know that's no different than what's out in the world? Do you know that I believe for that reason that there are many in our plain churches that are not born again? We're no different than the world, friends. They have made an appearance of godliness. Friends, we have dress codes. That's not wrong. That's not wrong at all. Because the Bible teaches some things that we are to wear. Discontent is doing quite well amongst us. And I'm not talking just about Calvary Chapel. I'm talking about our plain churches. Discontent, that's another thing. There's always something else I want. And we make the money and we get it. Pleasures of life are the norm. Am I making an appearance of holiness, but I'm rejecting what He's given me? And I'm living in darkness. Is there a possibility that instead of facing the real issues at hand, we have become more godly, and I've made that a small g. We've become more godly outwardly. Maybe even putting in place another guideline with the intention of creating a godly exterior. Friends, we're doing it backwards. It has to happen inside. We can put all kinds of guidelines and stuff in place, but unless it takes place in here, we're covering up. We're creating an avatar that looks like the real deal that is so fake. We have so many good things in our plain churches. So many good things. We don't want to bypass that. But this passage isn't talking about good things. It's talking about things that are not good. So there's a temptation there for all of us to always have an appearance of holiness to those around us. This appearance. But it's got to be more than appearance. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, we're going to begin in verse 14. Actually, that's where we were. We're just going to drop down to verse 14. He says there, but continue thou. He's talking to the same people. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation. What made him wise unto salvation? The holy scriptures. Through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. And it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or complete. Truly furnished unto all good works. I look at that and I think He's given us absolutely everything we need. And we're choosing not to take it. If we are not walking, if we're only making that appearance, we are choosing not to take it. He's given us everything. So the question I ask myself, am I truly serving those around me because of what Jesus has done for me? Or do I have a hidden motive there? Am I trying to hide something that's within my heart so I appear godly? Not all people that appear godly are hiding something. Don't get me wrong. There are many godly people that I know are walking in truth. But I believe we need to check ourselves. Where are we? Now, I'd like for you to turn to Acts 5. Let's look at an example. In Acts 5, it's a story that's old. Many of us know this story. But I want us to look at a few things in this story this morning. Acts 5, verse 1. We had the disciples just before this. They were together. There was a multitude with them. They had been praying, and the Holy Spirit didn't fall on them. He came within them. The Holy Spirit came within them. And because of this, there were a mixed group. There were wealthy people. There were poor people. The ones that had land went and sold it. So let's all be together. Let's all have the same things. And I'm not sure that he's teaching us to do this today. I don't think he is. But he is teaching us that we are to help the poor. But that's what they did here. They sold everything, and everybody had what they needed. We come to verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. So now we have two here, husband and wife, and they also want to sell a possession. And they want to give also. But there's something that happened as they wanted to give and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they did, they sold the property. They made it look like we are giving everything. When instead they agreed together, we're going to keep some back for ourselves. So we're going to make it look good and we're going to give everything we've got. Peter saw what happened, and this is what he asked Ananias. He said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" See, he had made an avatar, didn't he? He made it look like he was doing really, really good, when behind the scenes, he was lying to the Holy Spirit. What was the result? Somebody tell me here. We're not going to read all of it. They fell down dead. 3 hours later, after he fell down, his wife came in and they asked her, "Did you also?" "Yes." She fell down dead. And they carried her out also. Is it important that there is no hypocrisy in our lives? Absolutely. Very important. Let's go to Matthew 23. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus wasn't very easy on them. He was very harsh with them. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Was it wrong that they were giving these things as tithe? No. But it said, you're missing some. You didn't do all of it. You're making it look good, but judgment, mercy, and faith are not part of it. He says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." We'll come back to that in a bit. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which was within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Jesus wasn't easy with them. He spelled it out to them really, really clear, really, really plain. Let's go back to verse 24. "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." What was happening? They were taking a cloth. They were laying this cloth over the top of their cup that they drank out of. And they would strain their wine through that cloth. For the sake of just maybe, there is a gnat in there. And if I eat that gnat, if I drink that gnat, I have sinned against the law. So he said, basically what you're doing, you are making sure you don't get that tiny little gnat, but then you're turning around, you're swallowing a camel. Are you following what he's telling them? There are things that you're doing that might be good, but you're missing the real deal. You and I are bombarded with temptations, struggles every day. Verse 23 gives us hope. He says, "Cleanse first that which is within the cup." and platter, then the outside may also be clean. He's saying, allow me to work in your life. Bring it to me. I'll wash you whiter than snow. You don't have to stay where you're at. Clean up the inside and the outside also. That's hope. What's our answer? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. And this is where I want you to go as small groups. The youth have been going through a book, I think, in their study called Dress to Kill. And in this book, he talks a lot about taking this scripture, about taking the different weapons. There are a couple weapons, about taking the armor, how to apply them. And that's where we're going to go here in a bit. I'll explain a little bit of that. But finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That is to know Him. Be strong in Him. Without knowing Him, we're not going to go anywhere. We are going to fail. We've got to know Him. Because our strength comes from Him. He's the one that supplies us. And we're never, ever cut short on that supply. He always supplies us. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I looked at the word, put on the whole armor of God. That just means, wear all of it. Pretty simple. And don't put on part of it and not the rest of it. Let's say I put on the armor of God and I decide I'm not going to put on the headpiece. Where's Satan going to go? He's going to go to the mind because it's not covered. Put on the whole armor of God. So if we're going to do this, there's some putting on that needs to take place. Verse 12. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's telling us there that there's a fight that's going on. Did you know this morning there's a fight going on in here? If we can see the spirituality that's happening here this morning, I think we'd be surprised. Because there are spirits that are at war. And the one that's going to win in my life is the one that I'm going to commit to. If you choose not to commit to God, there's a spirit that's going to win. But if I choose to commit to God, there's a spirit that's going to win. And I'm on that side. See, God's already won the victory. He's already won. And He's invited us, join me. Come. Join me in this victory. But He leaves the choice to us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He says, take the armor so you can stand. Does that tell you if you don't take the armor, you won't stand? I think so. I think so. Take the armor so you can stand. I love the word stand here. You know what that tells me? We put on the armor. We're not down. We're standing. Because we have a God who has given us strength to make it through the struggles. We are standing. I cannot look at that and say, wow, I'm somebody. I am not down. I'm standing. Because I don't have the power. But because of what He gives us, I can honor and glorify Him by still standing. Do we face trials? Yes, absolutely. But He wants to give us the strength. What's another thing that we're doing as... Well, hang on, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Since our battle is not against humanity, He makes that very clear here, but against principalities, against the powers... There's something that we do when we accept what He wants to offer to us. When I am in a battle and I accept the power that He is wanting to give me to be free, to be victorious, what message am I sending to the opposite team? I'm sending a message to the opposite team that says, I do not belong to you. This is the one that I belong to. And whenever I face an issue, I'm going to call on my team. I'm on God's team. And when I call on Him, He is there to help us through. So we're identifying with God. We come back and we identify with God because that is the team that we're on. Colossians 2. Please turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 verse 6. Thinking about our identity in Christ. And by the way, if you do not have identity in Christ, who do you have identity in? We all identify somewhere. We all identify. If it's not Christ, ask yourself the question, who am I identifying with? Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That's relationship. My allegiance is to Jesus. I have a relationship with Him. I'm rooted and built up in Him. I'm established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. If you keep going down to verse 20, he talks about the things that we put in place in the old law. Don't taste, don't touch, just don't handle. Stay away from that. And he's saying those things make you look good outside. Oh, avatar. They make you look good, but he says they really have no strength for your will. Verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now let's pay attention to the next couple of verses. Verse 10, 11, and 12. He says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the head. If we are in Him, we are complete. What does the word complete mean? It means we have everything we need. We are completely His. I can't say it any simpler than that. We are completely His. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. As I looked at verse 12, there's a beautiful thing that came out of that. When I choose to walk with Christ, when He calls me and I say yes, there's something that needs to take place. I need to be baptized. Is that baptism saving me? No. There's a scripture that will kind of look like it if you go on your own. But start researching that the baptism will not save you. But the baptism is there because I have made a commitment to somebody. And because I've made a commitment to somebody, I want those around me to know, and I want the spiritual powers to know where I belong. I am raised with Him. See what he says there? Okay, now we're going to go back to Ephesians 6 again. I should have told you to keep your finger in there, and I forgot. This is what I want you to do in the small groups. I want you to take each one of these armors and the weapons. I want you to take those. I want you to identify those and to give an example of how they might be used today. Friends, if we don't have this down, we're not prepared for battle. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I hope you could follow along where I'm going this morning. It is so easy for us to create an avatar when we walk in these doors out here, isn't it? We want to wear a suit. I wear a suit because I grew up with a suit. I like my suit. You don't have to wear a suit. We want to wear dress clothes. We want to wear jeans that are nice and clean. We want to look good. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if we are doing that for the sake of looking spiritual, when I'm in pornography, when I'm in all kinds of sin throughout the rest of the week, I'm an avatar when I come in that door. I am not the real deal. What am I asking of you this morning? I'm asking you to allow God to search your hearts. I don't know your life. I can look at you, and it really doesn't matter. But there is somebody that looks at you and knows your life. That is the Holy Spirit within you, Jesus, if you have the Holy Spirit. He identifies with you. So it's so important that we check our hearts, that we check our lives, and allow Him to do the searching, I guess, to see who are we. Am I that avatar that I've created that really isn't me? Looks really good, really isn't me. Or am I the real deal? Am I walking with Him? We have an armors, different armors. We have some weapon that He's given us. We have the opportunity to be victorious. That's where I'm going to leave you this morning. We have the opportunity to be victorious. None of us are going to come to the judgment and say, I didn't have opportunity. We have the opportunity to be victorious. But it's going to take us allowing Him to come within us, clean us up, and then take what He's given us and live it out. It's that simple. It's really not that difficult, is it? Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? God, You've again given us so much in Your Word, Lord, to think about. You shake our hearts because of the sin that we see that's all around us, even within ourselves. Thank You for forgiving us. None of us here this morning, Lord, have done everything right. We just haven't. But You have offered us, if we bring that sin to You, and we're repentant, that You will faithfully forgive those sins and to cleanse us from everything. God, we bless You for that. I pray this week, Lord, as we walk and as we seek Your face, that we would open ourselves to You, each one of us here today. And Lord, that we would be changed. That we would be honest with You. You know it all anyhow. And Lord, that we could be on the side of victory. Lord, we believe we are in the last days. Father, make us a people of You. We love You. We bless You. We want to honor You today. In Jesus' name we pray.